Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our quarter three and 9 months conference call. Let me start saying that quarter three was another growing quarter for us in terms of revenues and profitability, and I'm really proud of these results, which confirm that we are on track in the implementation of our strategic plan focused on consolidating our positioning in the diagnostic market. As you know, Focus entered in group scopes of consolidation since May 13, 2016. As of September 30, 2016, it accounted for roughly 25.5 million in terms of revenues, of which 16.7 in Q3, in line with what we were expecting. However, to allow you a better comparison on our business trend, I will comment our results at constant exchange rate as usual and without considering Focus in our perimeter. So it's going to be a like-for-like representation. Let's move first to talk about revenues. In the first 9 months, the group revenues increased by almost 7%, 6.9%. And in Q3, growth was 6.8%, again, at constant exchange rate. So the quarter is showing trends which are in line to the previous two quarters. And clearly, as it has been now for a few years, we have two elements of the business. One is the Clia vitamin D on one side, and then the Clia-X vitamin D, which is following a different dynamic. If we start talking about the Clia-X vitamin D, in the first 9 months, it grew by 13.6%. In quarter three, the growth was shy of 10%, but the reason is that quarter three was affected by some shipping phasing. We expect that we will close 2016 with a growth that is in line with the first 9 months. Very clearly, I'm very satisfied by these results. We have been successful in all geographies, and as usual for DiaSorin, this result has been it can be explained by the success of the specialty assays. In particular, again, 125 vitamin D, which now DiaSorin was able to capture in all the market position which is very close to 80%. The product has been registered in the U.S., in Europe since the beginning, and also now in Brazil. As we discussed already in the past, this market is very important, not only because of the existing market, but also because it's part of our kidney-related disease diagnostic panel, which is a clinical area on which DiaSorin is investing, considering in terms of new assays, and we're going to talk about it later, as well as clinical studies in order to promote market growth. Second is our infectious disease line, which continues to be a strong driver of growth. Infectious disease does represent over 50% of our overall business, and we continue to expand menu, and we continue to expand market share, both in consolidated markets like Europe, as well as in emerging markets, if you can call it that way, like China first and then Brazil. Last but not least, the gastrointestinal panel, which now is complete, has been registered in Europe and is fully available, and we're going through the registration of some of the specialty products in the U.S. market as well. We are getting lots of traction from these products. These are high-value products which are demanding a high price, so they are a good contributor to the improvement of profitability of our business. Now let's revert to vitamin D. Concerning our vitamin D, we registered a negative trend in quarter three of minus 5.3%, and overall in 9 months, minus 2.2%. There are 4 points I would like to highlight on this one. First, that as we discussed now many, many times, there is a continuous price pressure in different markets, which continues to affect this business. Overall, vitamin D is representing now close to 20% of the overall business, so this has been diluted compared to what it used to be years ago. However, still, price pressure is there. Second, very clearly, when we compare to 2016 to 2015 in quarter three, now we are comparing a situation where last year Quest was starting to use our vitamin D, and there was some stockpiling in quarter three in the U.S., which makes the comparison quarter to quarter unfair. Third point is Italy, which has been a very good market for us for vitamin E. Vitamin has been growing in Italy in the last few years, and because of the current situation on the Italian market, which we will comment later, vitamin D stopped growing in Italy, and actually in this quarter is slightly deteriorating. So Italy was one of the last markets where vitamin E was still growing, and now this element is missing from the plan. And then, so these are the main elements which are explaining the trend on vitamin D. We expect that we're going to close Q4 slightly better than what we did Q3, but overall, again, the vitamin D franchise, as said many times, is a franchise that we expect to manage, but still showing single-digit decline. As far as Liaison Excel installments, very good quarter, close to 150 systems placed, which brings the 9 months at over 420 systems installed worldwide. So the total installed base for Liaison Excel is in excess of 2,700 worldwide, and we are approaching the 3,000 units, which we expect to happen sometime beginning of next year. So as far as installation, things are going well and as expected. Now, if we now go to geographies, and let me just briefly comment the different markets. As far as Europe is concerned overall, we continue to see in a market that overall is probably flat, if not declining, we continue to see good growth. We had 5% in 9 months and 5.1% in quarter three. And again, this is mainly driven by success in Germany, growing 6.3%. Success in France, that notwithstanding the fact that the quarter three was not as strong as before, overall is growing again after a couple of years where France has been suffering quite a lot from the vitamin D volume decline. So France is a contributor to this growth. Spain, a double-digit growth, and then smaller geographies in Europe, Austria, Switzerland, all these countries growing double-digit for us. So everything good, with the exception of Italy. We already discussed last quarter. Italy is not doing good at all. The market is, according to the EDMA data, is declining by 7%. We are declining almost 5%, so better than the market, but certainly very different from what we have been experiencing in previous years. We expect this trend to continue also next year as the result of a conscientious effort by the government to consolidate hospitals, consolidate labs, and drive prices down by implementing tenders where quality doesn't carry the same weight as before, is more, they're more price driven. Let me remind you that overall now the weight of Italy in the group is less than 10%. So fortunately, it's a difficult market, it's our domestic market, but the weight overall is fairly limited. Now, if now we go to North America, in North America, again, two different dynamics. As far as the region in the 9 months grew to 2.1%. However, in quarter three, it will decline 2.7%, and this is over the overall business. In the first two quarters, we had a positive effect of the Quest business, which was counterbalancing the traditional decline in pricing in the U.S. This effect in quarter three is not there any longer. Actually, is as I said before, is working against us because we're comparing to a favorable Q3 last year where there was some stockpiling because Quest was starting their business. When it comes to Clia XD, strong growth continues to go to grow double-digit, driven by, again, success with our big labs, as well as the continuous growth in the install base in the hospital base. So as far as the U.S. is concerned, to summarize, there is the usual trend for vitamin D, and there is a very positive trend when it comes to Clia XD and the launch of the new products. Now, Asia-Pacific, strong growth is 21% in Q3 and 16.1% in the first 9 months. The main contributor is China, obviously, 26% in third quarter and 37% in the first 9 months. Let me remind you that looking at the 9 months, if you remember, Q1, we had a growth of 77%, which again had to do with phasing on a year-to-year comparison. And we expect, as we have discussed in the previous calls, that China physiologically for us can grow in the 25-30%. So the quarter is reflecting this opportunity. Growth again is driven by the fact that the Liaison XL fits perfectly. This market is today we are moving from the Class 3 hospital where we've already been developing over the last few years, more into the Class 2 hospitals outside the Shanghai, Beijing, and the areas that we already served in the last few years. So what is the installed base is solid, is approaching 800 units, and this reflects the fact that the Liaison XL is a stand-alone system, fits very well the mid-size market that is the backbone of the Chinese market. We have started successfully the Beckman collaboration. We expect the first 30 systems to be installed by year end, so things are going as expected with our partner Beckman, so no more to say about China. Now, Latin America, last but not least, if you remember, Brazil for us has been a very sour point last year because we had to retrench. We had to move away from the public tenders where the government was not funding that market any longer, more into the private sector or anyway labs that were working with insurance companies. This really this strategy paid out. Now Brazil is growing 9.4% in a quarter, so very good. Is growing with specialty products. We have a DSO in Brazil, which now is around 70 days. All the receivables are collected, so it went back. It reverted from being a drag to being an opportunity. And then Mexico, where we got awarded a major tender in blood banking. The quarter growth is 24.5%, mainly driven by our hepatitis and HIV product lines. We started to install in the instruments in the initial accounts. So we expect that this growth in Mexico will continue, again fueled by this major contract that was awarded to Diasorin, starting from quarter two. Now, if we move more to business, what I call business development, so what did we do as far as strategically supporting the business? There are three elements I would like to discuss. First one is to do with Beckman Coulter. As you know, we did press release the fact that we are now extending and expanding the relationship with Beckman outside China. We decided together to go to the U.S. and start doing registration and then distribution through the Beckman network of our hepatitis HIV products on the Liaison. I'm very confident that this program is a strategic program for Diasor in the market. Is a $500 million market, excluding blood banking, where we do not intend to go. And certainly, Beckman does have in the U.S. A very strong install base. He's an American company. He's number one in clinical chemistry. So we see very well the combination of their platforms along with which are more clinical chemistry and immune and mainstream immunoassay with our specialty HIV product. So very positive on this one. We started to work in terms of working on the clinical studies and working in setting up the manufacturing site in England. So we will keep you updated, but the strategic ready is a very good move from Diasorin and a good opportunity. Second one has to do with Zika. As you know, because we press released, we have been awarded by BARDA to develop the new serological test for Zika infection. Zika does represent a big question mark in the U.S. vis-a-vis the opportunity, because if it becomes endemic, now it's present in the southern part in Florida mainly. If it becomes endemic, then clearly it is an issue. There are no fully automated assays approved in the U.S. Actually, there is just one recently approved made by a very small company. So we are at the FDA now with the assay, and we expect that once we get clearance, this can represent certainly it would be very opportunistic, but can become very strategic if, unfortunately, this epidemic does develop. Now, as far as molecular, we are announcing now the launch of the first product under the Diasorin flag. Is the C. difficile assay has been developed in California, launched CE mark last month, and submitted to the FDA. So the R&D in Cypress in California is continuously engaged into increasing menu available on our platform. And again, this is the first assay on the Diasorin, so I'm very proud about it. Last but not least, we launch in our traditional business the FGF23 assay. The FGF23 is a unique assay. We are the only one on the market to have it, again, fully available on an automated platform. Is a very innovative market when it comes to monitoring the progression of kidney disease. It fits very well with our strategy, again, in kidney disease with the 125, with the PTH, with vitamin D, and so forth. And we have great expectations from this market, both from profitability point of view, because it's a high-value assay, and second, because, again, it's unique, and Diasorin will be the only one offering this product. So stay tuned on this one, and we're going to give you updates moving forward. Now, I will now give Mr. Petron the chance to go through the financial results, and then we'll open up the Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. In the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through the financial performance of Diasorin in the first 9 months of 2016. I will also make some remarks on the contribution of the third quarter and on the impact of the focus business, whose acquisition has been completed in mid-May 2016. Let me please start with what I believe are the main highlights of the period. Overall, quarter three 2016 is confirming, both in terms of revenues and profitability, the good results recorded during quarter one and quarter two. Diasorin has confirmed its ability to generate a predictable and strong free cash flow, about $43 million in the quarter and almost €100 million in the first 9 months of the year. And we have confirmed our capability to deliver at a reported level an EBITDA margin around 38%, both in the quarter and year to date. Let's now move to the P&L. Year-to-date revenues, as reported, saw the contribution of about €25 million of the focus business, grew by 12.2% and 6.9% at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation, thus confirming our guidance. Like in the first 6 months of the year, also in quarter three, we have had some FX headwind, lower though than what recorded in quarter one and quarter two. Quarter three FX impact has been driven by almost all the currencies in which the group operates, with the only exception of the Brazilian real and the Australian dollar. In particular, year-to-date FX impact has been negative for €6 million, of which negative €1.3 million has been recorded in quarter three. Gross profit at about €282 million in the first 9 months of the year grew by 12.4% compared to 2015. Moving to quarter three, gross profit ratio over revenues at about 67.5% is slightly below the 68%-69% achieved in the last quarters. This is mainly due to three elements: a different country and product mix, and in particular, high sales in the quarter to a few big distributors which enjoy lower prices, some one-off scrap and rework costs driven by manufacturing issues which have now been fixed, and the full quarter contribution of the focus business, whose gross profit, as expected, has been slightly lower than the immunodiagnostic business one. Year-to-date gross profit ratio over revenues at 68.3% is slightly better than previous year. This is the result of higher sales of specialty products and some positive effects from manufacturing efficiencies, mainly driven by higher volumes, which have more than offset the higher one-off scrap and rework cost we experienced in quarter three, the light gross profit dilution linked to the focus business, and some price pressure, especially on vitamin D, as just reminded by Carlo. Anyway, this is in line with our expectations. Year-to-date total operating expenses at about €149 million, or 36.1% of revenues, have increased by about 13% at current exchange rate compared to 2015, whereas the growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation is in line with what we expected and below 5%. Let me please remind you that about €5 million of the reported OPEX growth has been driven by the depreciation of the intangible assets, mainly know-how and customer list, coming from the focus business acquisition. As said in the previous quarters, the increase in R&D expenses, which grew year-to-date by €8 million, or 42%, has been driven by the change in perimeter of consolidation and depreciation of intangible assets coming from the focus acquisition. Net of these effects, R&D expenses are in line with our expectation in previous periods, which means about 6% of revenues. The reported year-to-date OPEX ratio revenues, in spite of the intangible depreciation driven by the focus business, is substantially in line with 2015, whereas the increase in quarter three from 35.3% of 2015 to 36.1% of 2016 is driven by the mentioned depreciation. Year-to-date operating income at year-to-date other operating income and expenses at €7.2 million have negatively been impacted by €3.5 million of non-recurring expenses, mostly driven by the costs associated to the focus business acquisition and to some one-off consultancy costs aimed at streamlining our supply chain processes. Year-to-date EBIT at €126 million, or 30.5% of revenues, has increased compared to 2015 by almost 13%. Quarter 3 2016 EBIT, in spite of the mentioned depreciation of the intangible, is just a touch below 30%. The tax rate of the first 9 months of the year at 33% is in line with how we closed full year 2015 and lower by 100 basis points compared to year-to-date 2015. This variance is mainly driven by the different contribution to the taxable profit of the group of the different geographies in which we do business. Year-to-date net results at €82.7 million, or 20% of revenues, is higher than last year by €10.6 million, or almost 15%. As expected, and we are very proud of it, focus business has positively contributed to the absolute value of the net results of the period, also considering the depreciation of the intangible. Lastly, year to date EBITDA at €158.4 million with a ratio of revenues of 38.3% is better than last year by almost €22 million or 16%. The variance at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation is plus 10.8%. Quarter 3 2016 EBITDA at €56.1 million has increased compared to last year by almost 25%, whereas the increase at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation has been positive 12.4%. I believe it is worth mentioning, though, that this quarterly variance has been affected by some material, bad debt, and negative effects that we had booked in quarter 3 2015, mainly related to Brazil. Let me now move to the net financial position and the free cash flow. In spite of the acquisition of the Focus business completed in May for €262 million and the conclusion in June of the treasury shares buyback plan for almost €14 million, we closed the period with a positive net financial position of €44 million and about €110 million in cash. Considering the strong cash generation of the group, we are aiming at ending the year in a very solid position. Also, Q3 16 has confirmed our ability to generate a strong and predictable free cash flow. In the first 9 months of the year, the group has delivered almost €100 million, compared to about €75 million of 2015. And again, the Focus business continues to contribute in a positive way to this growth. Lastly, in view of the group operating performance, we confirm the guidance provided during half one. So, revenues with a growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation between 6 and 7%, and the EBITDA with a growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation at about 9%. Now, let me please turn the line to the operator to open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Romain Zana with Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three, actually. The first one regarding the product mix and the ELISA RIA in particular. It returned to growth in Q3 after a long period of decline. So I was wondering what were the drivers behind this this turnaround and how sustainable it is. The second question is regarding Clia X Vitamin D. I was just wondering how confident you are to deliver the sharp acceleration toward the 16-17% in Q4, or at least what is the degree of visibility that you have. That would be helpful. And maybe if you're also still comfortable with double digit looking forward. And the third question is regarding regulation in the US. It's more a big picture question, and especially regarding the PAMA upcoming start in 2018. If you could tell us maybe if you have any visibility on the proportion of your portfolio that can be at risk of reimbursement cuts. Thank you.
Okay, let me take this one. As far as the first one, regarding the growth that we have seen with ELISA and RIA, yes, this is related to the fact that I'll say that in 2016 there have been one element, which is the discontinuation of the RIA product line, which started to happen in quarter one, quarter two. Now the effect is very small in Q3. By the same token, we had a lot of success with the Murex line, especially in China. And this is related to the fact that there have been a company that has discontinued very similar products last year in China, and therefore some of the local distributors have converted the business from the this company, ELISA, into the DiaSorin line, the Murex DiaSorin line. This explains why in Q3 ELISA was growing versus previous years. Is this sustainable? I think that the Murex line can really go up and down on a quarter-to-quarter basis, and that is related. There's a lot to do with the fact that some of the business is associated with very large tenders. So depending, especially in the Middle East, so depending on shipment schedule, you can see this business fluctuating up and down. Now, as far as ClearXD, I am very comfortable with the trends in quarter four. As said, in Q3, there is an element of phasing, and phasing which in Q3 has been working against the comparison quarter to quarter. So if you take the Q3 last year was the positive phasing, so it was higher, and the quarter three this year is a negative phasing. Net result is that there's a growth shy of 10%, but we expect to return to the normal growth in quarter four. Now, as far as PAMA, look, I wish I had better visibility. Truth of the matter is that reimbursement cuts, yes, they do affect some of the products. However, the products that are affected are, in fact, first, they represent only roughly 30% of the lab business, because it doesn't affect the insurance business, but just Medicare, Medicaid. Second, the cuts, yes, are severe for the lab, but the problem there, in order to recoup some of these cuts, I think what they can do today, especially the large labs, squeezing prices out with companies like ours, that effect is very minimalistic. So I expect the PAMA effect more to be a driver in lab consolidation and, you know, really driving down the cost of the laboratory business, really, rather than having a significant impact on companies like and products like DiaSorin. Again, notwithstanding all that, all the insurance business, as you know, is not going to be affected by this, which is the vast majority of the business we carry.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three questions from my side. Instruments growth very strong, plus 24%. I would say it's mainly China driven, but is there any trend I am missing? So if you can elaborate on that. Second question is your guidance. I understand you don't want to give indication with focus, but can you help us understand where the group will end up in 2016? I think it's very useful as a starting base for next year. And the third question, I was looking at your revenues per machine, which is flat or slightly down. So I would say it's mostly driven by the U.S. performance and probably from vitamin D. So is it a correct assumption, and is it still a good indicator to look at, or probably it's not a good indicator anymore? Thanks.
Okay, I will take let me start from the last one. I think that we stopped giving the revenue per box now a few quarters ago because with the substitution of the Liaison and the Liaison XL, the fact that now you have customers which have two instruments and maybe they want to keep the Liaison there to do some offline of the product. So it became an indicator that was very good in the past because you had one box. And now it's becoming very misleading information, and therefore we stopped looking at that. And I And I strongly recommend that you don't do the math that you were doing before, because I'm telling you it doesn't work. Okay?
Yeah.
So don't look at that indicator. What I'm telling you in a quantitative way is that we continue to place Liaison Excel, and Liaison Excel placements are following our expected revenues per box.
Okay.
So there are no, clearly there are no problems there.
Okay. No, clear.
Okay, the first one, instrument growth, look, it is misleading because in that line we do have instruments, but we also carry other other products, and mainly certain products that we distribute in certain geographies which are not traditional ELISA or products that are similar to our product catalog. So a component of that growth is related to the fact that in a specific geography in Europe, we have started last beginning of this year to distribute products from another company. I cannot give the name because it's confidential, and therefore we decided to put these revenues in this line. So if you take away this this component, sales of instruments and spare parts continues to be in line with what we have seen traditionally in previous quarters. And then I turn to PG for the second question.
Yeah, the question, hi Massimo, the question about the guidance for 2017 for Focus. We're not going to provide any guidance so far. What I can tell you is that the numbers are growing according to our expectations when we looked into the business, and we will be more specific when we will provide guidance for 2017. But so far, I cannot, you know, give you any more information.
Am I correct in saying that the fourth quarter is more important than the third? I mean, there is seasonality in this business?
Yeah, there is seasonality in this business, which is flu, and as you know, it's very difficult to forecast how the flu season will be. But you know, if we are going to see a strong flu season, sales will definitely, you know, we will see seasonality will pick up. We will, you know, we have to wait and see.
Can you disclose how much is flu, or it's?
No, we are not.
Okay.
No, we don't.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Scott Bardo with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my questions. So the first question relates to vitamin D, which I know has been a discussion point for many years. I don't know, small numbers, but down a couple of percentage points in the 9 months, and seems to be the one trend, if you like, that doesn't appear to be going aligned with your midterm plan set last year, which was for a couple of percentage points growth. So it was a little bit of a surprise to me, that dynamic, particularly given the approval in Japan. So is that now that guidance for growth, moderate growth of this franchise now out the window in your opinion, or is this just a one-off peculiarity such that it should start to pick up going forwards? If you could provide a little bit more comfort surrounding that and the pricing environment for vitamin D, please. Second question relates to Focus, please. And again, I appreciate you're not explicitly guiding, but I want to better understand some of the dynamics. If I understand, you've had around 25.5 million euros worth of revenues for 4.5 months that you've consolidated this business. Quick back of the envelope might suggest then that, you know, the business probably would generate 68 million euros or so on a full-year basis, you know, based on what we've seen now. And I appreciate you just said some seasonality. But that would imply that it's not growing underlying, given that it was an $80 million business when you bought it. So I just want to understand, is that business growing? Can give some comfort there. And also perhaps talk a little bit more, if you can, about the dilutive impacts of this business to both gross margin and operating profit. You've touched upon them and said that it's had some modest dilution, but could you be a little bit more specific, please? Last question, please, just relates again to the gross margin. I think Clearly, you've had quite a lot of sequential favorable margin development on the gross level, still at a very good level. now we are sort of a little bit sub 68. Can you give some feeling here as to whether you see this Q3 level as a run rate going forwards or a bit of an anomaly? Should we start to see gross margin improvement with new product launches and clear regrowth? A little bit more flavor on the gross margin level, please. Thank you.
So I will take the gross margin question to start with. So the last one you made, Q3 has been affected by some one-off elements, the one I was describing. We see in Q4 the gross margin going back to around 68%, or thereabout. Please remember that, you know, 1.5 million difference of gross margin makes a 100 basis points difference. So it's not that easy to make a very detailed projection. But I see 68% as a number you could use in your modeling for Q4. For next year, you'll have to wait until we deliver the guidance. And the dilution of gross margin of focus business has not been very material. We are not very far from what we are experiencing in the immunodiagnostic business. When we completed the acquisition, we said that the EBITDA margin of the focus business was around 30%. We are running higher than that. So we are pretty satisfied with the profitability of the focus business, though it is, it's not closer to the 38-39% we have seen on the immunodiagnostic business, but it is higher than the 30% we disclosed when we made the acquisition. Regarding the vitamin D, the long-term guidance we gave in the plan was based on exchange rates, which were, 115 US dollar per euro. So the 2% you mentioned was built on that, using that exchange rate. At constant exchange rate, the long-term guidance was flattish. If you consider also 2015 numbers, because the base year was 2014, I believe at constant exchange rate, we are not far from the flattish number we delivered in the long-term guidance.
I'll take the
Japan one, or
no? You go ahead. Well, Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for Japan, we registered the product. We had the registration of the product a few months ago. The reimbursement price was defined a couple of months ago. We are still comfortable. We will see sales in Japan, but it's very difficult to forecast how fast those sales will materialize. We used in our assumption, and this was disclosed in the long-term plan, a penetration rate, I believe it was around 4%, 2-4%. How fast we will get there, it's a big question mark. It's not easy to be said, but we are still confident that we will see some vitamin D sales coming from Japan in the next few months.
Okay.
Focus. Thank you.
There is, I think, one question about focus revenues. I think on purpose we are not reporting growth because there has been a change of scope of the business as managed under Quest versus being a business managed under Diasorin. Because part of the business that we bought was not continuing because it was related to contracts that Quest had, and had nothing to do with the molecular portion of the business, more on the ELISA, but they had significant contracts with certain pharmaceutical companies which were reported in the pre-closing 2015 numbers and are not going forward in 2016. Just to give you a qualitative number, just for you to understand, if we look at the molecular, if we look at the U.S. market and we look at the molecular component, which is really the business we are going after, in the 4 months after the acquisition, this is growing more than 15%. So it's a solid double-digit growth. in the U.S., which is, again, the element we should be looking at. I understand that there is more granularity needed, and we are going to start providing numbers to molecular and providing more granularity at the beginning of next year, when the comparison is going to be more fair versus, again, a business that was embedded within Quest. It had intercompany revenues eventually. So it's very complicated to understand overall unless many more details are provided. As a statement, we are happy of the growth, we are happy on the technology, and we are almost surprised by the profitability, which exceeds certainly our estimate when it comes to the EBITDA. And stay tuned. We will give you more light into this next week.
Thank you very much. And sorry, just one quick follow-up, if I may, just to get some flavour or feeling. But from what you've just said, it would be a wrong assumption to assume on a four-year basis $80 million from Focus. So the actual sort of consolidated revenue that Diasorin will have for that business is less than that, from what you've just said.
No, I think that if you include the growth, if you include what we lost, meaning that it was not passed over with the business, and the growth of the business, I think is a fair assumption that annualized $80 million is the business.
Okay, perfect.
That we will have in 2016.
Thank you very much. And very lastly, then, if I may, sorry, and just to understand, I appreciate you know, vitamin D is up and down and broadly aligned with your plans thus far, ex currencies and what have you. But what I try and understand is, from this point on, is the assumption that it is in runoff, continues to deteriorate, or is the assumption that it stabilizes and modestly regrows? Last question for me. Thank you.
No, I think that next year, I expect vitamin D to slightly deteriorate or flattish. But again, the difference between the two is the contribution of Japan. So the business ex Japan is certainly deteriorating as part of price erosion. It depends on the contribution of Japan in terms of stabilizing that loss. In all fair honesty, Japan is a very difficult market to predict, and so let's see how it goes, and we're going to give you more elements. And again, when we give our projection for 2017, guidance 2017.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Maja Pataki with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions for me, if I may. The first one is relating to your partnership that you have. You've been talking a bit about the Beckman partnership and how you see the pickup in China. But you haven't really said much about Roche. Can you just give us a bit of a feedback there? Also, have you started to see some revenues coming in, and could you give a bit of a quantification on that? And then a second question is related to Focus. Just to double-check with you, is it correct to assume that we have a seasonality that is favoring Q4 and Q1, and that Q2, Q3 would be typically softer quarters? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with Focus. A portion of the Focus business is influenza and respiratory related diseases. So you need to expect, as typical for these are seasonal diseases. So you would expect typically around Q4, Q1, you have a peak season, and then Q2, Q3, there is a season in the other hemisphere, but usually much less than U.S. and Europe, right? So there is that seasonality in this respiratory business. Now, when it comes to the first question on Roche, look, we do have a significant number of projects that today are in process with Roche. I'm working on a fine line here because of confidentiality. The size of the project, because remember, we're talking about consolidating of very, very large labs, makes these closes take longer than a typical business, but also the reward is bigger. So to make a long story short, if I can give you a qualitative comment, yes, there is an engagement. Yes, there are projects. Yes, it's taking longer in terms of closing these deals than expected because of the size of the deals. Okay, I don't think I can honestly comment more in details there.
That's fine. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Yep.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Scott Bardo with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking the follow-up. It was really just a question about the leveraging of the Focus R&D portal in California to the molecular business in Italy. And pleased to see that you've already got some initial a product coming out of that research engine. So the question I really had is your existing molecular business, which has been loss-making for some time, now that you've consolidated Focus, what is your view in terms of the ability to turn that business into a at least profitable business going forward? And can you share a little bit as to is this the first in many products that you anticipate on a 12, 24-month time horizon, or is this, going to be a long-driven R&D process to really ramp up the number of products on this platform?
Let me just put things into perspective. The negative contribution of our European molecular business, so for the sake of clarity, the business we had before buying Focus, right, is very limited. We're talking about close to a couple of millions of negative EBITDA contribution, mainly driven by R&D cost and manufacturing setup in Ireland. We decided that we are continuing the development of the onco-hematology and the LAM technology. The onco-hematology was launched in Italy. The leverage I see is not necessarily on the R&D side. It would be more on the fact that it would have been difficult because of the size of the onco-hematology, which is a specialty business. It would have been difficult to justify in Europe opening up or dedicating commercial effort to that line if it was just for onco-hematology, whereas now that we do have a molecular program which includes a much broader scope, so all the infectious disease products coming off the Focus acquisition, we will have in all the European countries, we are now going through the going through all the contracts, we are cutting contracts with existing distributors and moving the business away from third-party distributors to our own commercial subsidiaries. So we will set up a commercial dedicated team to serve molecular, including onco-hematology. So this is the leverage I see. We're going to give more also these products to sell to people that are selling also the infectious disease. We believe that there is a synergy from an R&D point of view from the fact that we now have LAMP and PCR, so two technologies. And by the way, LAMP does work on the technology developed by 3M and acquired through the Focus acquisition. So we do have now two technologies that can be chosen to develop new products. So long story short, Yes, we see a leverage in terms of putting more resources in countries to sell on crematology. Yes, we see that the effort that we had with LAMP will paid out because now we have an installed base of cyclers that can be adapted to use the LAMP and so forth. But it's not, again, profitability. The loss was very minimalistic before, and certainly now when we will embed it within a very, very profitable business that we bought with Focus, it is going to disappear.
Understood. And perhaps just lastly then, please. So obviously I appreciate you've acquired Focus, and that's contributing somewhat to this year. But even without that, the group tracking very well as compared to the guidance you set before, probably, you know, with the ballpark of achieving the lower end of the net income guidance, perhaps a year earlier than you initially anticipated. So the question was, should we expect a new midterm guidance framework from the Diasorin Group early part of next year, encapsulating Focus?
Yes. I think, if I understand correctly, your question is, are you going to give us a perspective of the Focus business and embedded within a new business plan? And the answer is yes, we will. We are working on it in order to develop it and develop the opportunity with the commercial, our own commercial subsidiary. So in the early part of next year, we're going to come to the market with our view on the potential of the molecular products. Yes.
Great. Okay. Thanks very much, Chris.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator.